It's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, where the tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam famously claims that tefillah is a mitzvah min haTorah, or the avdo, v'chol levavachem v'chol nafshachem, ezuhi avodah shebelev. The Gemara says in Tainus, the Rambam takes this halach lemaisa, not as a drasha only, zuri tefillah, it's avodah shebelev. We'll talk about why that phrase avodah is used for tefillah, what the connotations of avodah are. The Ramban believes that there's no mitzvah in the Torah to daven, and it could very well be that sometimes the absence of a formal mitzvah doesn't diminish the stature of that experience, but heightens the stature of the experience. Because it's so obvious that a human being who has a relationship with Hashem would want to talk to Hashem in times of need, would want to talk to Hashem in times of celebration, would want to celebrate Hashem, would want to glorify, so it doesn't have to be codified as a mitzvah. So, for example, is there a mitzvah to do tshuva? It's a famous machlokas in the Rambam. Is there a mitzvah to do tshuva? Ironically, the absence of a mitzvah may highlight, because if there were a mitzvah, it would be regulated and mandated and institutionalized. When you do tshuva, how you do tshuva. Tshuva is a bold expression of freedom of choice. So freedom of choice can't be legislated as a mitzvah. Freedom of choice is something which supersedes a mitzvah. So sometimes the lack of mitzvah codification doesn't indicate it's lesser importance, but greater importance. Either way, the Ramban, who believes that there is no mitzvah in the Torah to daven, agrees that in one context there is a mitzvah, based on the Pesukim in Bahaloscha, Al Hatzar Hatzara Eschem, during the time of crisis, V'haryosem V'chatzatzos, and you'll blow the Chatzatzos, V'niskartem V'Hashem Elokechem, and you'll daven to Hashem. And the classic Esar is Milchama Bi'artzechem, not just Milchama, but Milchama Bi'artzechem. So we are in the worst case of Eish Tzara. We didn't just have a milchama, we have a milchama be'artzechem. They invaded our land, they assaulted our land. So even according to the Ramban, we're now positioned in a mitzvah of tefillah de'oraisa. So we're going to try to focus the next couple of weeks on how to improve your tefillah. And the spoiler alert, the constant theme is, don't put all your chips on kavana. That's the simplest way, better kavana, better understanding of the words. Obviously that's a gateway to success in tefillah. But especially in today's world, and especially for people that don't know Hebrew, when your mind is wandering through millions of images and ideas that you see on the internet, you should work on Kavanah. But if all of Tefillah is contingent upon improvement in Kavanah, I promise you won't get very far. You have to find ways to make Tefillah meaningful, even if you don't have Kavanah. This is not to say Kavanah is not important. It's just to say that it's unwise to think that your only pathway to Tefillah is with better Kavanah. Because then if you don't succeed, then your Tefillah will crash. So, where does tefillah start? So let's start with the beginning, when Avram was the first person to daven. Vayashkem Avram Baboker, he wakes up the next day, El Hamakom Asher Amat Sham, Lispinei Hashem. This is actually the day after stone. This is not before stone. The day before stone was the story. He was negotiating, davening. This is the day after. He sees the smoke rising from stone, and he returns to the same place that he stood the day before. Amat Sham Vayashkem Avram Baboker, El Hamakom Asher Amat Sham, place he did return to the day before, it's Bnei Hashem. Chazal say, Ein Amida ala Tfila. The first verb to describe Tfila is the word Amida. Now, Amida is not a verbal verb. It's not a verb that conveys speech. Adir is standing. Gavi is standing. Natan is standing. You're not davening now. Maybe Adir stands a little to the side, to your right, so that Adam could see also. Natan, can I see you? Okay. So, why is the first Tfila described in a non-verbal verb? Why is that the first Tfila? Because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu digging down for us, showing the basic core of tefillah. The basic core of tefillah is not speech, but it's space. The basic core of tefillah is to stand in front of Hashem, to have a relationship with Hashem. Let's say I stop talking. We're still in each other's presence. We still look at each other. We still feel each other. As you'll see in life, so much of relationships is through nonverbal interaction. You go to a Beis Avel, you don't always have something to say. You just sit there and you let your presence be known. Sometimes people just need a hug. Sometimes people just need to look at your eyes just to be with you. So not all interaction has to be channeled or streamed through speech. So when we daven, we're trying to stand in front of Hashem. Omed lefnei Hashem. El hamakom asher amad Hashem. Now, of course, when we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say things, we daven, there are words. But in theory, even if you stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said nothing, you would still be generating the fundamental foundation, the baseline, the foundational part of tefillah. And the truth is, if you read the Pesukim, Avram had, listen to me carefully, nothing to say that day. Obviously he said something, but this was the day after. The day before he had a lot to say. All of his negotiations, Hashavat Kalar Tzalei Samishpat, the Today, Stone is already incinerated. He's looking at the smoke rising. What does he have to say today? There's nothing to say. Obviously, he says something, but it's not as fateful and not as significant as what he said the day before. And yet, the Torah doesn't record the day before. It records the day after, because the Torah wants to spotlight nonverbal tefillah. The Torah wants to spotlight elamakam sh'am matcham. Okay? How do you establish nonverbal tefillah? How do you capture that basic core of tefillah? So we'll talk about a little more next week, but let me start to help you this week. The Gemara in Brachos says, the Tamidim Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, Tamidim came in to visit him when he was about to die. And that was a very sad visit, because Rabbi Elazar was in Cherem for many years because of his role in Tanur Shel Lachnai. So they came to visit him before he died because they hadn't visited him for many, many years, because you weren't allowed to visit him, because when someone's in Nidui, you're not allowed to come visit him. Now that he's dying, they removed the Nidui, they removed the Cherem, now they can actually come and visit this great, great Rebbe. It's a very tragic scene, a very tragic scene. Anyway, we don't know exactly when the Cherem was removed, but they hadn't visited him for many, many years. So they said, Rebbe, give us some last hints about life. Give us some last tips, religious tips. So one of the last things Rebbe Elazar told his Talmidim, one of the greatest Tanaim, says, and you know this, and you've seen it on parochas, but now you know it in a different context, Uchshatem mispalalim, when you daven, du'u lifnei mi atem umdim. Namely, forget what you're saying. Just focus on du'u lifnei mi atem umdim. He was returning to Avram's tefillah. So the core of tefillah is Amida. The first tefillah is captured or distilled with the word Amida. It's articulated as the word Amida. So stop thinking about what you're saying, but just try to focus on du'u lifnei mi atem umdim. So here's the first tip of tefillah, okay? It's not the end point, but it's the starting point. Try to pay less attention to the words and more attention to the fact that you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei Melechim. Sometimes your mind wanders so fast and so broad that you forget you're standing in front of Hashem. That even if you have temporary, sporadic kavan on the words, you're talking to yourself, you're talking to your friend, and you're talking to your friends literally, but your mind space is not standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Psach Sharei Shemayim L'Sfilaseinu, Shema Koleinu, Chus Rachem Oleinu, Aneinu Hashem Aneinu. Forget what the word, again, I'm not forcing you to forget the words. If you come back and say, I had a great feel on Shabbos, and I remember that I was standing in front of Hashem, and I had Kavana, I'm not going to be upset. But sometimes I'm trying to help you build ABC, step by step. So step number one often is, as Reb Chaim says, the first Reb Chaim, if you're a little brisker, you can read the first Reb Chaim of the Rambam, the two getter, the Tzvei Dinam of Kavana, one is Kavana Samilim, one is Kavana to be Omed Lifnei Hashem. Try to work as hard as you can to envision yourself standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Whatever that Kisei HaKavod is, you're old enough to know Hashem isn't an old man with a white beard, so take that image out of your head. What is the Kisei HaKavod? I can't tell you. I don't know if Sefer Yecheskel well enough. No one does. But you can just imagine a big Kisei HaKavod in Shemayim. You can imagine Hashem, as long as you're not going too physical with Ribbono Shelam. Don't imagine a beard and a man. You know, you can be more abstract, less abstract. You're standing in the presence of Hashem, talking to Him. Elamakom Asher Am Hashem. Du lifnei mi atem umdim. Everything else will come from that. But once you establish that core of tefillah, then you have a portal through which you can stream many, many other parts of tefillah, which we'll talk about. So on Sunday, we'll talk about the importance of a makom kavua in tefillah and how that helps establish Amida lifnei Hashem. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everyone.